Thank you for listening to the Alliance Church podcast. We desire to connect you with God and one another, whether here in Wisconsin or around the world. Let's listen into this week's message.
It's Bob Lenz, and I just love to introduce him. Bob, come out here. I got to introduce you with you standing by my side. Bob is an amazing speaker, right? We love Bob. It's a privilege and an honor to have you here teaching God's word to us today. Just so if you don't know Bob, Bob is a speaker, an author, a storyteller at heart. He combines his personal experience with in-depth biblical knowledge to awaken understanding and inspire others to embrace faith in Christ and makes a difference in this world. Bob. You are an amazing. You spoke yesterday at Go Big, and you just pump these people up to go out and make a difference in this world. And guys, listen to him, be inspired from him. He just wrote a book here called Hope for Life. I mean, this, he just walked through in a series, a time period here with your foot. Yes, he probably might talk about that. But during that time, he wrote this devotional book, something to read every single day, just to kind of keep your mind focused on who God is. And that's available outside in the hub if you're interested in purchasing it afterwards. Bob, go for it. Go for it.
Let's pray. You need some strong women around here. Do you know the gift you have in Chris Malve, what she is doing with Discovery Land here and around the world? To have 300 Sunday school teachers, they came from different states and all over the state yesterday. You are so blessed here with what you have. But thanks for the push on the, don't worry about buying the book. It just helps me feed my grandkids. No, we do it unapologetically. We ask you to go out and buy one. There's a deal today if you get all. There's four of the ones I wrote out there. If you get them all, there's a special price on today. And all the money will go to give scholarships at schools so we can go into the public schools to reach this nation with hope. So please check that out. I'm so honored to be here today. We had to get Dennis all the way to France and Brian in Hortonville for me to speak, but I'm here. So I'm really excited to be here and to be a part of your series on prayer. I know they got a workbook and everything else that they're doing, so I love to teach right with what they're doing. Matthew chapter 6, verse 10 is the verse they gave me. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Let's pray. Time out. Look back up here. Why do we do that? The person up front says, let's pray, and everybody goes like this. You'll say, oh, Bob, it's because of our reverence for God. If that's why you do it, awesome. You know why I think we do it? We've been bored at church. Did you ever see the nods on Sunday morning? Did you ever see the reverse nods? I was at one church, it was communion time, my favorite part of every service, and this older gentleman with gray hair in the back, he reverse nodded out. He starts snoring in church. His wife, being the good Christian she was, sharpened her elbow, gave him one in the side. During communion, he went, ah! It was the most excitement they had in that church for a long time. Now, please hear me, nothing wrong with praying like this, but sometimes I think this is what happens. The person up front starts praying, says, let's pray, you bow your heads. The person up front starts praying, and you start thinking things like, are the Packers going to show up tonight or not again? Or you're thinking like, wonder what the market's going to do next week. Or you're thinking like, oh, how many times do I have to drive the kids where next week? Or maybe if you're maybe a teen, you're a guy, you're thinking, look at that girl three rows up. And that girl's thinking, look at that guy four rows back. And you start thinking of everything except for the God who put the stars in the sky. Except for the guy, I don't know if you've seen the sunrise or the sunsets lately, but just the gorgeous, that's the majesty. That's just a little of what his majesty. Can you imagine what he's like? So we got to see that God is really asking us to know him. And I think that sometimes we forget that he wants a relationship. It's not just religion, amen? Okay, come on. I know it's 8:30 service, but amen? All right, like, so if I come home from a day of work and I go, hi, honey, I'm home, I love you. She'll go, aw, what a sweetheart. And I am. But if I came home the second day and all I said was, hi, honey, I'm home, I love you. She'd go, aw, 2 days in a row. But if I came home the third day and all I said was, hi, honey, I'm home, I love you. She'd go, what do you want? If I came home the fourth day and all I said was, hi, honey, I'm home, I love you. She'd go, hey, knock it off. Talk to me. Tell me about your day. Ask me about mine. Let's communicate. Let's talk. Let's have a relationship. Let's be friends. Amen? That's what God wants. He doesn't just want a routine. He wants to get to know us. He wants to have a relationship with us. So you can just pray to him. Now, a pastor, when I shared this, one pastor got mad at me. He said, Bob, who are you to challenge how the church has been praying for 2,000 years? Just Bob. Say it backwards. Bob. No, I want to actually look at scripture too. So if you look in John chapter 11, verse 41, it's that Jesus is at Lazarus' funeral, right? He always messed up things. He messed up that whole funeral. He went to the funeral though, and he's by the grave, and it says, Jesus looked up and he said, Father. So he didn't bow his head. He actually looked up and started praying. Now, there's different ways to pray, and I think sometimes, like if you kneel, there's different gestures to pray that make sense and show what's going on in your heart. Now, I didn't grow up in a church, like some of you are raising your hands during worship, right? I didn't grow up in that kind of church. First time I saw that, guys going like this, I'm like, Pastor, they got a question. But there's ways just to tell God that we love him, that he's real. So I want you to know this. When you pray, he's listening. So now let's pray. Now you don't know what to do with your heads. Some of you are mad at me right now, right? But I pray that even at mealtimes when you pray and you go, now what am I supposed to do? It doesn't matter. Bow your heads. Keep your head out open. Your head, eyes open. But just know this. Know that he's praying. So Father God, we do come to you right now. In this whole series on prayer, on the Lord's Prayer, how you taught us to pray. Father, intimate, real. Father, we ask you that it be more than religion. And God, I know so many here know you. But Lord, sometimes it grows cold. It's like a friend we haven't seen, haven't talked to. May we grow in what it means to be in relationship with you. And all God's people said, amen. All right, back to this. So it says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Now, I'm going to throw a lot of things out today that I hope you go and study later. Do you know that Jesus only talked about the church, the ecclesia, twice? He mentions the church twice. He mentions the kingdom of God. What is the kingdom? Where God is king, right? Where everything is the way it's supposed to be. He mentions the kingdom 70 times. So thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You still believe in a heaven? Do you know most people don't? See, I still believe this book is the word of God. There's still good and evil. There's still right and wrong. There's still God and Satan. There's still heaven and hell. And I pray. That's why I love Discovery Land here and the Awana you have, because it's still teaching the kids the word of God. Amen? That's what we got to continue to do. That's the only hope. So let's just talk about heaven for a minute. I love to sit and daydream. I love to sit and go, what is heaven going to be like? Now, this is just mine, but you can add to it. So I made up a list of heaven's going to be better than, all right? Number one, heaven's going to be better than money. Say money. Proof of this, and I want everything out of the word of God. You can look these up later. Revelations 21, 21. It says the streets in heaven are going to be made of. Can you imagine it? You have a pretty big parking lot here. I'm sorry, when you need signs, go west lot, east lot, right? They told me that I could park by the loading dock. How many churches have a loading dock? They said, oh, the door will be open. It was locked. But there's a lot of asphalt all around. You know why it's so important that the streets are made of gold in heaven? Because let's face it, money, wealth, influence is one of the things we esteem highest on earth. And if it's highest on earth, guess where it is in heaven? The lowest, right? Some of you are worried about the stock market. You're worried about your retirement. Well, guess what? Our retirement, if you know Christ, is secure. We are gonna live forever and ever and ever. Heaven is gonna be better than money. You can trust in that. You don't have to worry about inflation in heaven. Number two, heaven's gonna be better than food. Say food.
I'm gonna like heaven.
Okay, I'm sorry, but I've done youth groups my whole life. I'm still doing them. And the youth group, they always have pizza. And the youth pastor will usually go, okay, everybody start with just one piece. Look at me. Look at my, what is one piece of pizza gonna do? One piece cannot even fill up my cavities. I'm sorry, no, heaven's gonna be better than food. Why? It says in Luke, let me look here, Luke 14, it's a banquet. It said it's gonna be a feast. And I'm sorry, I can't picture Jesus going, everybody start with just one piece. No, heaven's gonna be better than food because in heaven, no calories. I'm not gonna have to worry. In heaven, not one piece, it's gonna be pizza, pizza. All you can eat buffet, all right? So heaven's better than money, heaven's better than food. Number three, heaven's gonna be better than jet skis. Now, I know in an audience this size, there's men and women who like to fish that don't like jet skis. I'm a fisherman as well. I live on the lake, but I still love jet skis. Stay away from the fishermen. Just had to put that in there. Okay, but jet skiing, I'm sorry, it's one of my favorite things in the world. When you hit that wave and all the whole jet ski with me on it comes out of the water, it is amazing. And I love taking my grandkids, and I love going, ours goes about 50 miles an hour, and I love going and then just turn, and it dives in, and my kids are on the, they were on the back. And it's just so fun. But people are like, okay, Bob, now you're stretching it. You say this is in the Bible? Where do you find this in the Bible? See, heaven's gonna be better than jet skis. In heaven, cloud runners. No, it's in the scripture. Psalm 68:4 says, Jesus is coming back riding on the, can you see Jesus? Let's not make Jesus into some boy. He's God. He's amazing. So heaven is better than money. Better than. Okay, number four, don't judge me till I'm done here. Heaven's better than getting drunk. You're like, Bob, my teenage son and daughter in the room. No, please hear me. Teenagers, if anyone ever tells you that getting drunk isn't fun, you tell them one of two things. They've never been drunk, or they're a liar. Now, hold on. But if anyone ever tells you that sin isn't fun, well, the Bible says that all have sinned, so they must be a liar. Sin is fun for a season. But you know why it's awesome? You know why heaven's gonna be better than getting drunk? No morning after, right? No personal relationship with the toilet. You know what I mean? No addiction. No family dysfunction or broken families because of alcohol. No abuse. Ephesians chapter 5:18. Do not be drunk on wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. See, heaven isn't just when you die. Heaven is now, knowing Jesus. It's better. So heaven's better than money, better than getting drunk, you can say it. And lastly, there are kids here, okay. Heaven's better than intimacy in marriage. Toy Story, just the way they say it, okay. I want to say it loud and clear. God is not a killjoy. I'm sorry, for me, the greatest love in my life outside of my relationship with God is with a girl by the name of Carol, who in December will be married for 39 years. And thank you. And I love her more today than the day I met her. But the night, our engagement, like, you know, you have a rehearsal the night before, she comes to me and she goes, Bob, I got to tell you something. There's somebody that I love more than you. I'm like, well, you could have told me before today. She said, but I hope that there's somebody you love more than me. She said, I want our relationship to be a triangle. You put Jesus here, and as we get closer to him, we'll be closer to one another. But the best relationship on earth, the way marriage is supposed to be, it's still God's plan for one man to marry one woman. Now, thank God for forgiveness, but it's still his ideal. The joy of having children, the joy of family. But heaven is going to be better than money, better than intimacy in marriage. It's better than anything. But can I tell you what's not going to be in heaven? And this is just a little list. No war. I'm sorry, but I just met in Pennsylvania, I just spoke and met a girl who's from Ukraine, and her sister is still there. She was adopted, and her sister's home that was just bombed, and she's living in a shelter. No war, no starving children, no apartheid, no genocide, no corporate greed, no abuse of power, no abuse physical, emotional, or sexual, no unwanted children, no poverty, no division, no racism, no sexism, no injustice, no school shootings, no anxiety, no depression, no sickness, no disease, no cancer. Revelations 21:4, no tears. Every tear will be wiped away. Please hear me. If you're here this morning, maybe because a spouse that comes, or maybe because your parents make you, you don't want to not believe in what God says about eternity. There is a heaven and there is a hell. And your best day on earth will be like your worst day in heaven. And your worst day on earth will be like your best day in hell. Make sure you know there's only one way, the death and resurrection of Jesus, and that he is so in love with you, and you trust that and believe that. Amen? Amen. My mom was dying of cancer. And people were coming to say goodbye, and her friend Sarah, whose sister had died of cancer, came in, and she knew the process of grief. We talked about hurt and healing coming together. Great, great song selection this morning, David. And she came in and said to my mom, Jan, are you mad at God? Do you feel like he's abandoned you? And I'm sitting there going, yes. I don't know if you're like me at all, but if I'm in a hurry and I get a red light, God doesn't like me. If it's raining and I got to park way out there, he doesn't care about me. If I was in high school and a girl broke up with me, that never happened. First, you'd have to have a girlfriend. But my mom said, her eyes got as big as like on Christmas morning. She goes, no, God's not mad at me. He didn't leave me. He loves me. I'm like, God, Mom, how can you say that? You're too young. I want my mom. I want my kids to have a grandma. How can you say that he loves you? And my mom said, Bob, you have to be cross-eyed. I said, I thought if you do that, your eyes will stay that way. She said, no, you have to look at the cross. And please hear this. She said, Bob, if you look at the circumstances of life, you'll always question if God loves you. But if you look at the cross, you'll always know that he loves you. Upton Alliance, hear me. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. It's that real. That he went to the cross and he conquered the grave. And no matter what you're going through, your God is in love with you. Let's look at one more picture of Jesus. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Hebrews 12, 2 said, for the joy that was set before him. What is that joy? The resurrection? Going back to heaven? He had that joy before. Now you can debate this or not. You know what I think that joy was? For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. So he saw the cross. He knew what it meant, but said, I'll go through this. Not my will, but thine be done. Why? For the joy. You know what I think that joy was? You and me being able to go to heaven. That he loved you so much, he said, I don't want heaven without you. And for the joy of you and me, I don't know about you. Yesterday we had this little girl up here for Go Big, and they said, tell us how you came to know Jesus. She goes, my friend was in Awana, and she invited me. She said it was really fun. So I came, and it wasn't really fun, but I learned about God and Jesus too. So then I start coming to church here and learn more about God and Jesus. And so then I came and said, Jesus, you can lead my life. And I gave him my life. Then I got baptized. And then I started volunteering because she can sing and do things in Discoveryland. She goes, and then Chris liked my story, so now I'm sharing it with you. That's the joy when one sinner comes home. That's why he'll leave the 99 for the one. That's why he endured it for you. Okay, let's go. We got to go back to the finishing of this prayer. Go with me to where Jesus, now he taught us in Matthew 6, you know, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, right? Not my will. But where he had to live that out, in the Garden of Gethsemane, right? He knows that the cross is coming. And it says in Matthew chapter 26, 30 to 38, listen to this. My soul is overwhelmed to the point of death. Any counselors in the room? If a high school said, my soul, I'm so overwhelmed to the point of death, you would say that they were suicidal. Am I saying that the Son of God was suicidal? I will not touch that with a 10-foot theological pole. But whatever a suicidal person feels, God understands. And he knows. And then he fell to his face and said, God, if it's possible, any way, take this cup from me. But that's when he said what? Not my will, but thine be done. Where are you at right now? You know that God is saying it's a relationship, not just religion. But you know what? The pandemic, no matter what your thoughts are, we're not back to normal. People still aren't coming back to church. Average around the country, 40% only coming back. We're forsaken getting together. Our lives are different. We're still dealing with trauma. Suicide calls to the hotline have increased 800% since COVID, and it's not going down. More kids than ever are dealing with anxiety and depression. And they need you and I for the joy that was set before Christ. He endured that. I think so many people are asking God, why? Why do you allow this? Why do you allow this sickness? Why do you allow this pain? I'm here today to say this. God is still good. No matter what trauma you've been through, no matter what brokenness, no matter what sin has overcome you, no matter what sin others have done to you, do you believe this, that God is still for you? If you can believe that by faith, not by sight, by looking at the cross, then we can say, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's the solid rock that you build your life on, that we sang on. That's come what may. Really? No matter what comes, it is well with my soul? That's where we gotta go. Pandemic, so hard. We do events. Life Fest was canceled. School was canceled. All the events, all the income, stop. Then, pandemic's over, and Chris alluded, I had to have foot surgery, and I had to have my foot in the air and not with people for 5 months. I'm a little bit of an extrovert, Is Jesus enough? When's the last time you heard Jesus? Not like, hello, Bob. But he'll speak through his creation. He'll speak through his word. He'll speak through his people. And he'll speak to through his spirit if you listen. And I got to the point where I was so overwhelmed. And when your organization is called Life Promotions Instilling Hope in Life, and you start losing hope yourself, and then how do you feel? Guilty. Anybody else? I'm supposed to have it all together. I'm the parent. I'm the youth worker. I'm the pastor. I'm the whatever, fill in the blank. And you're like, I'm so not like Jesus. Did you not remember the verse? All we remember is not thy will, but thine be done. Jesus said he was so overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. If you've been there, guess who you're like? I'm like, finally like Jesus. But then, that's okay when you're hurting, because that's why he gave us prayer. And he wants to speak to us. I don't usually do this, but I want to. So I've been doing this, practicing this discipline of prayer. And it's really hard because I talk as much in prayer as I do to people. And my wife said, sometimes you need to just listen. So I've been trying to just listen and say, Jesus, speak to me. And he did in my heart, and I wrote it down. If any of this applies to you, take it from him. If not, just know this. He wants to speak to you in prayer. When we're ready to say, thy will, not mine, be done. This is from Jesus to me. And some's pretty personal, you may not even know what it means, but Bob, thanks for taking time with me. Relax. Don't try so hard. Be wise. Be still. When I got the foot, I'm sorry, but that song where it says, he is my shepherd, he makes me lie down. Somebody said, Bob, you won't lie down, so God made you lie down. Be still. Butterfly life. New life. Trust me. The lion will lay down with the lamb. Peace and calm, even in this season. Be thankful. Appreciate your wife, personal. Appreciate your life. I am grateful for you. I have graced you. I am bigger than your pain. I am bigger than your past. Please hear this. I am bigger than your sin. I am bigger than your failures. I am bigger than your faith. I am bigger than your best, and your worst does not nullify me. I am bigger than your board, bigger than your affirmation givers, bigger than your critics. I am bigger than your accomplishments, bigger than your confusion. I am bigger than your issues, bigger than your sermons, bigger than a message, bigger than a movement. I am bigger than the narrative. I am bigger than your energy, and I'm bigger than your tiredness. I am bigger than your cancer. I am bigger than answered prayer. I am bigger than unanswered prayer. I am bigger than your guilt, and I am bigger than your shame. I am bigger than your struggles, bigger than your victories. I am bigger than your thoughts. I am bigger than your emotions. I am bigger than your gifts and bigger than your weaknesses. I am bigger than the risk. And then Jesus said, I am worth your life. Let's go back, Matthew 6:10. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as is in heaven. If you're here today and you're not sure heaven's your home, the Bible says, believe in the name of the Lord Jesus and you shall be saved. not just in your head, trust him from your heart right now. But then if you're a believer, come back to relationship, not just religion. Talk to him. Let him talk to you. And then would you bring a little piece of heaven to earth for the children, not just in Discovery Land, but out in the schools, in our communities? Would you trust God for your wayward child who's not walking with Jesus anymore? Would you say, you're still good, and I'll trust you? Let's pray. You can bow your heads. God, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And no matter what heaviness anyone has right now, we surrender. We give you our all. We can be hopeful. We can be positive. We have a future because of you. Thank you for the ability to have prayer, to talk to you, our best friend. May we continue this all week long. In Jesus' name, everyone said,